Greetings. I am Shusara Kona Kumara. Welcome to Satsang. You are beginningless. You are endless. You are divine.
Good evening, everybody. This is Shusara. Thank you so much for joining us again tonight for Satsang. We're going to go ahead and get started. So take a nice deep breath, and I'm going to clear the space. Mother, Father, God that I am, through the great central sun hierarchy, through the office of the Christ, through the order of Melchizedek, I call upon Archangel Michael to bring the sapphire blue ray. Cut away, cut away, cut away anything in all of our four lower vehicles not emanating directly from our I Am presence. I now call on Archangel Zachiel, keeper of the violet flame. Blaze, blaze, blaze the violet flame through all of our four lower bodies. Transmute, transmute, transmute all the psychic debris Michael has cut free. I now bring forth the invincible ring pass knot and the mirror blue light of invisibility to completely surround each of us. And I call forth a shaft of pure Christ light, one to surround each one of us, and I ask that they be brought to the center of the earth, where I call on Archangel Gabriel to seal them, and I ask that the legions of Michael completely surround each tube of light. And now I ask that our vibrations be raised high above the psychic and astral worlds to the highest realm of illumined truth we each can attain at this time. And now, Mother, Father, God, we place ourselves in service to you and to humanity. And I place myself in service to all of you tonight. We ask that only that which is direct from you be permitted into our perceptions and that all else of the lower mind be kept out. And we ask that only that which is direct from you be permitted through us. And because we have asked this, we consider it so. So be it. Thank you again for joining us tonight. With me, I have Pele Yen and Tim and Linda and Pujanda, and we're all so happy to be here with you. And as usual, I don't know what I'm going to talk about, and we're all joking about this going into it. I never know what I'm going to talk about, so I told everybody sitting here that they all have to help me tonight. There's been a lot going on with my group here in Charlotte, the students that I work with. So that's an indicator to me that for all of you listening, most of you probably have had a lot going on in your personal stories as well. And a lot of it, I'm guessing, if I had to hazard a guess, it would be big things that are coming up for you, things that are kind of major in your life and in the way that you have functioned. So they're what we would call anchor points, like the things that your reality truly is based upon. And everybody, you know, there's one story playing itself out as all of you. But each individuation's anchor points can be slightly different. Some are the same, like being human is an anchor point that everybody seems to carry together. Being the particular gender that you are is another anchor point that you share with roughly half the population. But there are others that are more unique to your situation based on the individual imprinting that took place when you were younger. So those things seem to be the things that are coming up for clearing right now very strongly. And, you know, if it doesn't get cleared, it's all right. It's not like it's not going to come around again, because it always will. And that's the beauty here, that you keep getting the opportunity over and over and over again to see the same thing, the same set of beliefs that create the matrix of the personal self. So it will keep coming to you. But I would highly recommend that you, rather than sit in victim mode about whatever it is that's moving in your life that is a challenge right now, that you take advantage of the opportunity to do very deep self-inquiry, looking at the purpose that it's serving for you, because it is serving a purpose. If it wasn't, it wouldn't be coming up. And you're in resistance to whatever the challenge is. That's why you're seeing it as a challenge, because there's resistance. And if the resistance is there, it means that there's truth that's being presented to you, and it's an aspect of the truth that has remained hidden from you. So this is not easily seen. When I say remained, you know, it's remained hidden, it means that it's been sitting at the level of the unconscious. Now, let me go back for a minute. Some of you may be new to the program, and others may have heard me kind of speak to this over and over. But the way that the mind itself, meaning the personal I, the way the mind is programmed in this reality, it exists in a polarized world. So that means that for every side of one thing, there's going to be an equal and opposite side opposing it. So easily you can look at good, bad, up, down, left, right, you know, and me, you, us, them. Everything's polarized. Well, the thing that happens when consciousness identified with the personal I is that it set into motion this thing where you consciously would hold certain beliefs as true for you. And because this reality is polarized, what that means is that it all has to be held in balance. So if you're holding one side of something, right, it means that the other side has to present here equally in order for it to be held in balance. So this is a planet of balance between the polarities. And what you own as you is conscious to you. And what you don't own as you, or refuse to own as you, gets locked into the level of the unconscious. And when it's unconscious, you experience it through your outside world. If it was conscious to you, you could see it in yourself. Okay? The things that you can't own as you and you can't see as yourself have to be presented to you, just as the things that you can see to yourself are presented to you consciously. So they show up in your outside world, and they do that through your projection. So you end up projecting this unconscious aspect of yourself out onto other people or situations, or it can be anything. The main thing is that it's outside of your sense of self. Because it can be a piece of furniture, or it can be the weather, or it can just be a concept. It doesn't even have to be physical. And this is the way this whole planet functions, right? And this is what keeps people locked in the cycle of death and rebirth, and the cycle of reincarnation, where you come back into form and you have forgotten the previous lifetime or lifetimes. You've forgotten all of your experience. And each time there's an opportunity to take any place that you were polarized in the previous life, and to live the other side of it in order to clear it. Because it's polarization that creates karma. It's the attachment to the individuation, the attachment to the sense of I, that creates karma to begin with. So every place you're polarized in the world creates a karmic debt that has to be balanced in order to clear it. Now, that's a really big statement if you really look at it. If I say to you, anywhere you polarize, and then look at the average person walking in the street, where don't they polarize? Right? So from that level alone, you can see how the cycle of what we would call the life-death cycle, why it's so all-pervasive here and why people just keep going, you know, kind of like running on the hamster wheel around and around and around and around, because there are so many places to get stuck. Yeah. Because everything presents, and anywhere you attach, that's a place where you just got stuck. So what happens is you are gifted from the level of the unconscious, in that the unconscious presents itself through your projections and your judgments on others. And each time that happens, it gives you the opportunity to see through this whole polarized concept that you're holding in place and that you're believing to be real. But it doesn't, just because you believe it doesn't make it real, right? So I'll take a little example of something that I was speaking about earlier. And it's very simple. So if you look at the concept of teacher, can I stand here and say I am a teacher? Well, sure, right? Does it make it true? In a level, it's true. I'm teaching my students, or I teach my children certain things, okay? Or I teach myself certain things at times. Is it then not true that I'm a student? Because if I'm a teacher, I can't be a student. And you'd say, well, of course that's not true. I mean, just because you're a teacher of one thing doesn't mean you wouldn't be a student of another, right? And that's good. That's a very balanced way to see that. But what the mind does is it gets too attached to one of the identifiers. So for a lot of people, if they carry the level of identification that says, I'm a teacher, they would then become offended if you told them that they weren't a good teacher, or they would be offended if you said to them, you know, I think you still have a lot to learn, meaning that you would be functioning at the level of a student. You know, you still have a lot to learn. And they'd be highly offended by that. Why does that happen? Because they've over-identified with the concept of teacher. And they feel justified in it because, let's say, they have their degrees and they have the life experience and the job and all these things they can point to that says, this is proof that this is what I am. I am a teacher. So they will be in resistance to something that would, in their perception, take away from what they own as themselves. But it doesn't make that inaccurate. Because as you probably did just see, just because you're a teacher of one thing doesn't mean you couldn't be a student of another, you see. And that is true. So am I a teacher? Yes. Am I a student? Sure. Sometimes teacher, sometimes student. So if I can be both, how can I be just either one? Well, you can't be. You can't be both and only one at the same time, right? That doesn't work out that way. And if you can recognize that you're both and own that you're both, then when someone does come to you and say, you still have a lot to learn, then you can own that too. Yeah, you're right. I could totally see that. I know my consciousness is ever expanding just from that level. Of course, there's still a lot to learn. Or from the level of, oh, I've been cooking for, you know, 35 years, but of course I don't cook at the level of a Gordon Ramsay. There's still a lot to learn there. Yeah. Or you name it. We can all do that. So if you can do that, why on earth would you ever be offended when someone shows you that? Well, you wouldn't be, because if someone says to me, you still have a lot to learn, it's like, yeah, you're absolutely right. Absolutely. But that's not what the mind wants to do. What the mind wants to do is over-identify with one side and refuse to identify with the other side. And that's where the problem comes in. That's where you get held in this very rigid place that you can't see outside of. And that's the piece that keeps you stuck and that keeps you running on the hamster wheel of reincarnation. It's this identification with concept. And so this is the challenge. The challenge is unearthing those things that you have refused to identify yourself with, because that's where the energy is stuck. It's stuck because you've denied it or you've repressed it. And it's gotten pushed into a very deep level. It's gotten tucked away into the deepest, darkest recesses of the self. And the challenge is in unearthing it. And the problem is that just normal psychological work is not enough to get there. What normal psychological work will do is help you repolarize. But repolarizing is not the same as balancing. So typical psychological work will take a person who suffers from depression, and then they're going to work with them to basically move them out of the state of depression to where they can be stable in a place where they feel better. So the goal becomes to be not depressed. Or happy. It's the same thing. But how is it less identified? And that's what I would ask you. How is it less identified? So on one side, you're identified with being depressed. On the other side, you're identified with being not depressed, or identified with being stable or happy. But it's equal identification. What's the difference? So when you repolarize from one place to another place, that doesn't do anything to dissolve what's actually sitting there. Because as soon as you say, I'm stable now, now you're not owning the depressed part anymore. And if someone said to you, you know, you're showing signs of depression again, you'd be like, no, I'm not. No, I'm not. I got through all that. I'm good. Right? And then you see the resistance right there. Or you suffer from depression and someone says to you, yeah, you don't look depressed. Oh my gosh, you have no idea. If you could just be me for a day, it'd blow your mind. I'm a mess. Right? So resistance to the opposite. In either way, it's the resistance that's showing you, oh, there's something to this. There's something that needs to be seen here. So whatever your story is, whatever you want to say, I am this, your work becomes uncovering where you are not that. It's easy to own what you think you are. And it's easy to find all the evidence in the world for what you think you are. Very easy. Not so easy when you go looking for the opposite, because it's hidden. And when I say it's not easy, I mean it's not easy. Even with the help of a guide, it takes time and a lot of effort for students to get to a place where they can start to see it on their own without having it pointed out to them. It's very difficult to see. It takes great skill to get in to the level of the unconscious and actually bring it to light. So what I can do for you over the internet here is I can start to point things out to you that hopefully will start moving things for you, that will enable you to begin to see a little deeper and a little more, and to become a little more aware and a little more observant about what's going on in your world. Because I can't be there to function as an actual guide for you, but I can show you things to look for. And of course, whether I'm someone's guide or not, either way, they have to be the ones to do the work, right? If you're holding out hope that someone's going to do the work for you, I hate to burst your bubble, but it's not going to happen. And the work is challenging, extremely challenging, but also very rewarding. Because if you look at it from the space of, you know, whatever the blocks are, whatever you're holding in place, whatever you refuse to be open to and refuse to see clearly, when those things are out of the way, you function from just a completely different space in your world. You know, when it all falls away, you can be you, which is beautiful. That's part of one of the biggest gifts that I have as a guide, is actually watching my students turn into themselves. However else you'd say it, you know, because when they come to me, it's just 100% ego. That's all that's running. And of course, that's not what I see. I see what's underneath, waiting for emergence again. Yeah. And over time, all of those personality characteristics, they just start to fall away. And what they even begin to see in themselves more and more is this natural state of who they are, you know. And one of the most beautiful things that I witness with people when they first come to me, almost invariably, most people come and they will just talk. me, and all this blah, 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 blah. Just, you know, the ego just loves to just run with a story. And they'll be fidgety and they move a lot. And they're just, you know, it's just this constant energy movement between the voice and the body and all that. And literally within the course of usually just a couple weeks, but definitely within a month, you sit with the same person and they will be in a completely different space. It's just, everything is just, whoo, just come down, you know. They talk less. They're more deliberate in the words they choose when they speak. You don't find them fidgeting. They're far more still, you know. And all of this chatter that happens internally, that exhibits itself externally through the movement of the body and all the words that come out, you know, it starts to just dissipate. And they start to really move into a far more natural way of beingness. And you can do the same thing. And I know we do have listeners out there who have been with us for a while, who have experienced major shifting through listening to the program and taking the pieces of what I offer and taking it seriously and actually doing the work around it. And it's a beautiful opportunity to do it. You know, utilize your life as a means by which you can transform your sense of who and what you are. I heard Lady Athena, she's on BBS on Wednesday nights. I heard one of her programs and that she had done recently, and she said that, I think if I can quote her, I hope I can. Basically, she said, you know, we're not here to be happy. We're not here to live a happy life, which, of course, that would send people all into a tizzy. Isn't that the goal? I thought that was the goal. But her point was, you're here to do the work so that you don't have to keep repeating the life, do the work. And that doesn't equate to having a happy life. And I so get that. Like, I get that. That's hard to see from when you're in the space of you would give anything for a happy day, much less a happy life, you know. But the true seeker, and those are the people that I'm here to address, and the people most likely who make it to this program, you know, the true seeker has a recognition of that, and it's deep inside, but there's a recognition that, yeah, it isn't about, this lifetime is not about me with the, you know, picket fence and the house and the dog and the 2.5 children and, you know, the Oldsmobile and the driveway and the 401k and pension accounts. And not to say that those can't happen. I wouldn't polarize over that. But the point is that the true seeker that really has come to that level where they're ready to do the final work, they're okay with the fact that it's not all rainbows and sunshine this time around. They're okay with that. Because there's something greater that is driving them on. You know, the average person out there isn't sitting back and going, why am I here? The average person doesn't sit around going, who am I? What am I? You know, it takes a highly elevated level of consciousness just to get to the question, right? And when you've reached that place where those are your questions that you really sit in contemplation of, you're going to find people along the way who can help you in your journey move further and go deeper into those questions and do that work. And when you get to that place, all of the concepts around what life is supposed to be, they just fall apart, you know. I mean, when you really, you're spending time and you're sitting in contemplation of being beginningless, endless, formless, single, being knowledge bliss, how do you sit in that space and hold that space for long periods of time and then in the same moment stress out about how much money you have in your retirement account? You see? Where do you place your sense of your source of anything? Is it you because you're the doer? Or is your source the source? And if your source is recognized as the source, then what do you need to worry about? You know? And when you experience yourself as the source, there is nothing to worry about. Nothing to worry about. Now, again, and I have to do this all the time, I'm not going to polarize over anything. I'm not telling you if you've got a 401k to stop putting money in it. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that. But you have to look at how you hold that concept of what life is in regards to where you want to go. If there, you know, how do I say this? If you have, you know, you've got money that gets taken out and it's going into a thing and that's awesome and good for you and you've got your employer matching money and fantastic, that's great. That shouldn't be the thing that stops you from doing something else with some of your money that could be the source of something amazing and beautiful in your life. That's not living. You know, some people would sock away every cent they can and then they wouldn't take a vacation. A lot of us had parents like that. You know, kind of that war generation. They knew what it was to do without, and they were very tight with their money. And, you know, the whole put it away for a rainy day thing is great when it's balanced, just like everything else. But the concept of just stick it away and stick it away and stick it away and don't enjoy your life right now is ridiculous. You know, you're here to live. There's one capacity, you're not living at all. If the only thing that's running is the personal self, that's not even living. That's a program. You're here to be outside of that, to function, you know, in as natural a state as possible in a polarized reality. To function from the level of the Christ itself in form. That's what we're all called to do. But yet all the concepts that exist in the world are the exact things that keep us from functioning at a higher level, which is our nature. And I always say to people, you know, if you're going to do it, do it. I love using the movies like that. You know, if you're going to go to the movies, do it. Get yourself a huge old tub of popcorn and the biggest thing of Coke or whatever and your Jujubes. Like, do it. Have a great time. You're here to live. Like, do it. Experience it. Be in it. Swim in it. Love it. And there are other times, you know, so great. So, you know, take the couple of weeks, set the money aside so that when you go to the movies, you can really do it upright. If that's your thing, you know. But to go to the movies and be like, and you love popcorn more than anything in the world at a movie theater. And Linda's shaking her head. That's me. You know, to go and be like, oh, no, I really need to save my money for such and such, but I'll go to the movies. And then you sit there and then half the time you're in the movie theater, you're looking around you at the people eating popcorn and you're thinking about how I don't have any and you're not even present for the film. Like, what's the point? What's the point? Now that doesn't equate to now you have this devil may care attitude and you don't, you know, you're just a complete spendthrift, whatever. You know, it doesn't mean that, right? But everything has to be held in balance. And anything too much either direction, you're hanging yourself. Linda, one of these days I'm going to buy you a movie theater popcorn machine for your for your house. It wouldn't be the same. This is true. So, you know, all y'all are excited about Star Wars coming out, like go to the movie and buy the big tub of popcorn and get it refilled. You know, do it. Who cares how many calories are in it? Who cares how much did it cost some ridiculous amount of money? $7 or something stupid, you know? Who cares? Just do it and love it. Okay, so people are challenged right now, and there really is an awful lot. And we had a very kind of somber satsang here in Charlotte tonight. The energy is really rough right now, and people are in it, in their processing. So they come here, and they're still in it. That's fine. I'm not out to try to pull anybody out of what they're processing. Certainly, I'd rather have you stay in it. So all this heavy stuff is coming. And I was explaining to people that at the end of the year, there is a level where I don't know that I'll be able to explain this really well. I'll try. But if you could see it from a kind of a greater perspective, of course, what's happening on this planet is moving through the ascension process. Humanity is moving through that process. So the hierarchy outside of physical densification who are working with humanity, they, on whatever level that is, they kind of get together like a plan for the year for humanity and what they're seeing is the potential of what could be done, the level of clearing that could be done, the level of raising the collective vibration that could be done. And then coming into the end of the year is the last opportunity for that work to get done. So people who are on a conscious spiritual path, you know, you're working when the body sleeps as well, and you're very busy. And this time of year, this really is when you have an opportunity to clear a lot of stuff, so that when you go into January 1st, you go into the next cycle, everything gets, you know, kind of re-planned for the next year. So this is the last chance to work on dissolving away or transmuting the disqualified energy that sits around whatever stories you've been holding on to that were meant to be cleared for you this year. That's why a lot of times at the end of the year, you will feel this huge movement of stuff, and usually it happens so that you're experiencing it in your physical life. Big changes in your world. I mean, you might have work changes, or, you know, things happening, babies being born, people dying, just big things going on, having to reevaluate relationships. That's a big deal, you know, having to looking at moving. That's a big deal. All these things come up. And a lot of times it's right at the end of the year. So a lot of people are sitting in that, and it's very challenging. So I was really trying to focus the group tonight on, you know, I'm not the greatest cheerleader. I don't tend to be kind of like, woohoo! Although I can, which is obvious because I just did it. But I don't normally do that. So as much as I can, I just was trying to root them on to give them that sense of, you know, I have walked this. I know what you're in. And I use me, if nothing else, as proof that you can get through this. You can do this. And for as hard as it can be, and I am speaking to all of you, as hard as it can be, and whatever is moving in your world or whatever is moving in your inner world that you're looking at right now and trying to face and wrestle down to the ground, whatever that is, and for as difficult as it can be, and for as hopeless as you may feel, I promise you, you would not be in this position if you were not strong enough to handle it. And that is not meant as some kind of platitude to make you feel better. It is the truth. It wouldn't make any sense for the universe to bring you something you weren't capable of handling. It would be self-defeating. What would be the purpose? The universe is here to support you in your evolution, not to set you back. Right? So even though a lot of you are experiencing things where you feel like, I can't do this. I don't know if I'm capable of doing this. I don't want to do this anymore. I want to give up. I want to walk away. I want to quit. It doesn't mean maybe that isn't right action. It could be, right? But don't utilize those kind of defeatist attitudes to dictate your action. Because if you are dealing with challenges, and if you have found me, of all people, on an internet radio program, I promise you, you are strong enough to handle this, whatever it is. And you also have support that you aren't even remotely aware of, that you can't see, but you have it. So there needs to be a level of faith there. And I know people get hung up on faith, mostly because they have the Christian kind of connotation attached to it and what faith is. And Pujanda was one of those people. Very anti-Christian. And now she experiences a level of faith that she never thought was even real when she was younger. Because it's part of your beingness, you know. Faith is, think of it this way, right? Faith is easy when you know it's real. Faith is easy when you know that you can't fail in your faith, right? I'm getting this blank stare from Linda. Come on, rationalize it out with me. Faith is easy if you know that whatever it is that requires your faith can't fail. Would you agree with that? If it can't fail, faith is easy. Right? Yes? Man, you guys are all... Say something.
Easier said than done.
Is it? Look at what I'm saying to you.
I know.
No, you don't. Look at what I'm saying to you.
I know.
If you knew it couldn't fail... First of all, faith wouldn't be required. But second of all, there wouldn't be any problem with having faith if there was no chance for it to fail in the first place. See, you hold this thing that faith means that I know I might not make it. And you were asking me earlier about the difference between hope and faith,
yes.
Right? And that's the component that gets tied into it, mm-hmm. Right? Because mm-hmm. faith says... Oh, crap, it might not work out. But I'm going to have faith and I'm going to push through it anyway. You know what? And that's the component everyone's got to have. But it's easy to have when it's not two-sided. And what I'm telling you is that your nature is not two-sided. It's one-sided. You're not polarized. Faith is inherent to who you are because it is what it is. There is no failure that is a potentiality. Don't you see? It doesn't matter how many lifetimes you live. At the end of the cosmic day, there's no failure. How could there be failure? You're God incarnate. I'm sorry. How can there be failure? And who judges that? And on whose timeline does that make sense? You're infinite and eternal simultaneously. You're infinite and eternal. And where in that whole scope of everything does failure have a place? It's a blip. You know, it's kind of like the pictures of Earth from as seen from whatever other galaxy out there. See this little tiny speck? That's the Earth. Well, like, that's your concept of who you are, is that little speck of nothingness. That's the polarized self. It's like nothing. And y'all are so hung up on, but I might fail. What if I put everything into it and it doesn't work out? I'll be a failure. Oh, my. On one level, it's true. You will be a failure. And you can own being a failure. And that's okay. On another level, you can't be a failure. Are you kidding me? You're God. How is something omniscient, omnipresent, potentially a failure? Really? Really? It's time to get perspective. You see, that's perspective. That's what I have to bring in from time to time to get you out of the... You're so mired in the stories. Pull back, people. Let's look at it from another level. Everything that ever has been, ever will be, both in form and out of form, seen and unseen, anything that could be anything exists within God itself, within it. It's almost like it goes eternally inward. That's how I experienced that. I was thinking about that the other day. If you look at the great central sun, Alpha and Omega, and Alpha and Omega holds the entire galaxy in form, within itself, within its being. Helios and Vesta, our sun, our central sun, holds the whole solar system within its beingness. But that whole solar system that's being held within the beingness of Helios and Vesta is being held within the beingness of Alpha and Omega, plus all of the other ones. You see? They're like Russian nesting, Ukrainian nesting dolls, yeah? Everything's being held within the next. And then the big Mac Daddy Ukrainian nesting doll is God itself. And it's so big that there's nothing outside of it. It just is. And so you're that. You exist within that. Within it, you see. And you have to hold that perspective. For as tiny as you are within this little lifetime and all of these experiences that are happening and all, you can't get mired in them to the point where you can't see outside of a lifetime. What is a lifetime in the space of eternity? I mean, you all are worried about just getting up and going to work tomorrow. But in the space of eternity, what is that? Your success as far as your ascension is guaranteed, people. Do you understand that? It's guaranteed. You are God. Do you think you're going to lose yourself forever? You won't lose yourself forever. A momentary blip of an experience of forgetfulness. And in the awakening, the forgetfulness aspect never happened. That's you. And that's real. And the problem is, everyone lives their life here in this manifest world, thinking that this is the reality and everything else is just conceptual and everything else is just philosophical, or it's, you know, woo-woo, or it's spiritual, or it's religious, or it's, you know, it's all theory. That's not accurate. Honey, what do you want to say? Please do. Yeah. Pajanda wants to say something here.
So as you said, like when I was younger, I had this huge issue with faith, and people would tell me, you know, you just have to have faith in God or this, that, and the other. And that always just seemed kind of like a cop out to me. And I think I kind of just realized what it was. It always felt like a cop out. It was a way of not taking responsibility for anything. Like, oh, well, we just got to put it in God's hands and let it get sorted out. And so, I mean, as with lots of things that we experience, you know, before doing the work or while doing the work, you know, you think you experience love, you think you experience happiness. And then the further, you know, you progress in the work, then you're like, oh, wow, I never knew what any of that was. And I think it's the same thing for faith. And that's kind of what I've experience. So, you know, 12-year-old me who goes to the preacher and says, how do I know that this is the path? And he says, you have to have faith. And I was just like, psh, okay. I don't like your answer. It just felt like a cop out. Whereas now for me to say, you know, I have faith, it's anything but a cop out. It's very much it's not about it being tangible or something like that. It's like I don't even know if I can describe it. And I think I really resonated with what Pelion said, like, what's the difference between faith and hope? And I think for a lot of people there isn't a difference. So there's kind of that back and forth. It's both and neither. Yeah.
Thank you for that. That was great. And it's true, for some, the whole faith thing is the justifier for denial, the justifier for lack of action, the justifier for not taking right action or whatever it is. But for one who's walking in faith, it's the exact opposite, you know, because that person is how do I say this? without the concept of the doer in place, I don't really know how to say it, but that person is actually showing up. You know, you walk through it anyway, and it's the faith that it's worth the journey. That's the piece, you know, it's that faith is what leads you to the next thing and to the next thing and to the next thing and trudging through it, even though it's hard and difficult. But it's the faith in knowing that it's worth the journey, that even though you can't see the big picture, even though you can't see the end game, it'll be worth the journey, no matter how hard the journey is. And that was, you know, that was a big component of what we talked about tonight, and would relate well to what I've been talking about to you tonight. Regardless of what you're going through in your life and regardless of how hard it may feel right now, I promise you, if you really start looking and observing and seeing where there are patterns that are taking place within your personality and within the way you react with other people and actions that you take and choices that you make, there's this thing going on there that has been hidden from you, and it's serving a purpose. And the purpose is it keeps you locked into this sense of who you are in the world. And that's the piece you've got to start challenging. And you're the only one who can do it. You have to start challenging it within yourself. Who says I have to be a conservative? Who says I have to, you know, be anti this or pro that or whatever it is? Where does that come from? And where does the need to associate myself and identify myself with that come from? What purpose does it serve? Holding myself in alignment with some, but in separation or resistance to others. What purpose does that serve me? Yeah. These are the questions that they've got to get answered, and you're the only one who can do it. So you have to start questioning. And I'm here to walk with you through both levels. You have to walk it in the physical level from that level of that personal self who is identified. But simultaneously, you have to make that journey with the understandings that others like me can give you because of our experiences, that there is a whole other level of existence, more than you could even imagine, going on that right now wouldn't seem real to you, but it's far more real than what your concept of reality is. And when it's been experienced, there's no denying that. And when you have those experiences, you will walk away saying, wow, and I always thought this was the real thing. And now this feels like the dream. Yeah. And that's true. Because this is the dream. This is not natural to your beingness. Living in a state of strife. It is not natural to your beingness. And you can journey back out of it. You know, you can. You absolutely can. Every single one of you has what it takes to do it, or you wouldn't even be hearing me right now. So start asking the tough questions. Start being willing to look at the tough answers, you know. Start be willing to look at how you manipulate others or how you work to control others to your own benefit. See where you're self-serving. Get tough on yourself about where you're functioning from. It's time. It's really time. Do it now. Do it now. It's worth it. Do it now and watch your life begin to change. And with that said, I think it's time. Okay, so we're going to go into our meditation music for tonight. Beautiful little song, and I hope you enjoy the lyrics behind it. I know I do. Makes me cry every time I hear it. So we will be with you again next Thursday night. We love you so very much. You have a beautiful week, and we'll see you next week. Thank you.